I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There is no better group of ones for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. Today, I'm joined by a real font of knowledge when it comes to rhododendrons. He's the chairman of the RCMG. The Rhododendron, Camellia and Magnolia Group. It's David Millay. My thanks to Westland Horticulture, sponsors of this podcast, and of course, my long-suffering producer, Charlie Jones. Beautiful weather this week, although the rough wind on Tuesday didn't help my runner beans, chrysanthemums and dahlias. We usually get one of those blasts each autumn. Even so, lovely days, blue skies, and the autumn shades just becoming apparent. It's interesting to see how flower colours deepen, especially on roses. I mean, it's much the same in the spring with tulips. Those grown indoors in softer conditions are paler coloured, while those outside are much stronger. The roses, they really do deepen as the days shorten and the nights cool. I went to the University College graduation in the cathedral at Chelmsford, and the florists there had decorated the stage mostly with imported sort of subtropical plants and flowers, and I thought that was a great pity. And by chance, I'd brought 40 of those gerberas back from Four Oaks, and so I think I'll deliver those to Riddle College and the students can start to use with stuff which has been grown here. You know, I think we need to integrate the way we train young people so that those that grow stuff are linked in with the florists who use it as cut arrangements and also feed into the landscape design people. At my village school, where I nip into the garden club quite regularly, the grounds maintenance people drive me balmy. About two or three times a year, they come with hedge trimmers and they lollipop everything. Doesn't matter what it is or what time of the year, it just gets chopped back into a round or a box. There were a couple of red roses that had an ash seedling and a slow, you know, the old Prunus spinosa, growing up in amongst the rose, and they just prune the whole thing back to a cube. We need more people who understand what they're doing when it comes to pruning and cutting. And then, of course, on the Monday and Tuesday last week, it was the Glee exhibition at the NEC in Birmingham. Boy, there were a lot of people there. And that's been a part of the reason for going. It's not just the exhibits and what's on the various stands, but also as you walk between the displays, you keep bumping into people. I mean, I couldn't walk more than 3 or 4 yards and you'd bump into somebody and hear about this or that. For example, the company Scotts, formerly ICI, who sold all kinds of garden products, then they were bought by Scotts, introduced the Miracle-Gro brand, who also sell, of course, Levington compost and evergreen lawn care materials. Well, they've brought all that together, and next year you're going to have to look for a new kind of signing, because all of their brands will be brought together and the packs will say Miracle-Gro in a roundel and then Evergreen beneath it. So the company is really, in the UK and Europe, called Evergreen. Glee also had its awards. And when it comes to plants, then Agapanthus Fireworks was judged the best new plant at the show. I was pretty pleased because we happened to have it as an offer to readers on Saturday. So we certainly picked that one and were in full agreement with the judges. But other things that caught my eye I see that Peckish, the brand for bird food, have a squirrel-proof suet pellet. Apparently, if you mix red-hot pepper powder in with suet, the squirrels don't like that pepper at all, and the birds can't taste it. And so you have something which you can put out for the birds, and the squirrels won't nick. When it came to products, then a soil improvement called Blooming Amazing coming out of Cornwall was judged the best new product. That's recycled material. You know, the garden trade is really looking in the direction of recycling. And I'm told it's already selling very well indeed. And meantime, at this time of year, you can sow quite a number of hardy annuals. But the timing is quite important. You need to sow larkspur first, you know. So if you see a packet of larkspur anywhere, and it needs to be fresh seed, it doesn't germinate very well if it's old seed. If you sow that now, it takes 2 or 3 weeks to germinate. And then a week or two later, you can sow things like calendula, pot marigold, cornflower and nigella. They germinate much more quickly. And what you want to do is to get a seedling that's big enough and strong enough to survive through the winter, but not so big and lush that it's knocked out by rough wind and frost. So I'll keep reminding you of the right times to sow things. I mean, the last pretty well to go in are sweet peas, and then we'll be sowing those on the 10th of October.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Always gives me pleasure to chat to people whose skills in the nursery trade I respect and admire. And one such is David Millay of Millay Nurseries in Surrey, who are really the country's specialists when it comes to rhododendrons. How are things, David, down in deepest Surrey?
Well, we've had a pretty interesting summer with the drought. Rhododendrons, as you're well aware, are moisture-loving plants, so they haven't enjoyed this summer. But having said that, if you can get water to them, they've come through really, really well. And in fact, our crops are looking superb. We managed to get enough water onto the plants, and they're looking excellent this autumn.
Where people are growing them in containers, and they often do get a bit dry, the sure sign is the outer edge of the leaves curve down and round, don't they?
They give you plenty of warning. You know, as long as you're looking after those plants or having a look at them every day or so, they really do give you some warning that they're unhappy. And it's just a matter of getting water to them when they are unhappy, and they respond very quickly. And if you can get water to them sort of out of the heat of the day, so either early morning or late in the evening, and a good soak once a week or twice a week in the really hot weather, we think works much better than just a little sprinkle. Give them enough water for that root water to get right down into the bottom of the pot, and then those roots have to go and look for it. And that little bit of sort of looking for water is better than mollycoddling them with just a little spray on the top.
Yeah, you know, with all plants, we need to get the roots out into the soil, don't we?
That's the biggest spread as
possible.
Yeah.
Now, can you just sort of run through the range of rhododendrons and azaleas that you offer?
Well, we've got probably the biggest range in the country, if not the world. I mean, we're doing about 800 different varieties of rhododendron. There are actually more than 30,000 registered rhododendrons nowadays. I mean, there's just far too many. So, yeah, any new one has got to be outstanding, and we are working on new ones. But our range will vary from evergreen azaleas, deciduous azaleas, dwarf rhododendrons, which are sort of more the more alpine ones with small foliage, through the Yucuciamanum varieties, the compact growing ones from Japan, originally found growing in Yakushima Island in Japan, and then through to the hardy hybrids, the sort of the main rhododendrons that most people associate as a rhododendron, the tall growing hardy hybrids, big blousy flowers, typically in April, May and early June. And then we have a good range of the rare and interesting species that have found their way from the Himalayas and through from Asia and even from the azaleas from the west and east coast of America.
Yeah. Now, if listeners are interested in some of these rarer and more unusual kinds, can they get information on your website?
Yes, we've just rebuilt the website, so we've got full descriptions and pictures of these ones, and there's a good range there, very good range there. The difficulty is trying to find those ones, you know, that you want. But we've designed it so you can filter through for the types and the characteristics of plant that you're looking for, whether that be flowering in. You could select the flowering in different months or height after 10 years or scent or all these features that you might want to select to plant in your garden.
Well, and can I draw you on a little bit? I really like the deciduous azaleas, in part because some of them have really nice fragrance, and you've got the autumn colour coming too, haven't you?
Absolutely. The deciduous azaleas are not stocked very well by the garden centres, but it always amazes me how many we do sell, or we grow and sell, because I think people find us because you can't get them elsewhere. But they're a wonderful plant. You know, you can have them either the really most subtle, small-flowered ones in pastel colours, flowering in April and May, or you can have the big, blousy, big leaf, big flowered ones, you know, huge flowers in bright oranges and reds that are just outstanding for a bit of colour. So you've got that two completely different types of flower in the spring, but then, as you say, some of them are scented. It was a really good scent. The most scented of them all is the common luteum, the bright yellow one. So you've got good scent in the spring as well. And then following on from about now onwards, so September through October and into November, certainly some of them have got wonderful autumn colours, you know, oranges, reds and scarlets. And so these plants have got sort of three or four features to give interest through the year.
Yeah. A variety that immediately comes to mind, in part because my son works for Unilever, is the variety Purcell.
Oh, yes.
So, I mean, we always have one of those in the family garden somewhere. Can you give us one or two other names?
Purcell's a wonderful white with a yellow centre, and it's scented. That's certainly a choice variety. Other ones with a nice scent, slightly more subtle than Purcell, is Davisii, a nice pinky white one. That's got a lovely scent on it. And a lot of the Occidentale hybrids, now those Occidentale hybrids originate from the west coast of America, and they've got a good scent on them, and are typically pinky white in colour. And also the Viscosum hybrids. Now, those are the so-called the swamp honeysuckle. And those have also got a lovely scent on them. And they're mainly from the east coast of America originally. And some of those have got lovely glaucous blue foliage as well. And that's a characteristic that we've been trying to breed into our azaleas. And in fact, we've got some with the midsummer. We've called them the midsummer range. So they're much later than normal, and we've had them flowering in late June, and we launched a whole series of them at Hampton Court Flower Show a few years ago, so that was early July.
I was just going to ask you about that, yes, because that was very strong in my memory. That was a stunning exhibit. And, I mean, you won 5 RHS gold medals on the trot.
Yes, we have. Yep, we're going for another one, and hopefully going for another one next year at Chelsea Flower Show next year, where we'll be celebrating, hopefully, the centenary of Exbury Gardens, so that's something else to look forward to.
Oh, goodness. Well, there's another world, isn't it?
It is.
If you need to see azaleas and rhododendrons in flower, you need to go there.
Well, that's about 200 acres, and they're celebrating the centenary of the Rothschild family planting that up 100 years ago. And, we're helping them celebrate their centenary with what should be a really good exhibit at Chelsea Flower Show next year.
Goodness, I look forward to that. Now, if I can take you off in another track entirely, I mean, you're the boss of the Rhododendron, Camellia and Magnolia Group, aren't you? Aren't you sitting in the chair there?
The Rhododendron, Camellia, Magnolia Group, yes. So I've been chairman now for nearly 5 years. And this used to be one of the groups within the RHS, and then they wanted to devolve all the groups, so we set up on our own, and then we obtained charity status ourselves a couple of years ago. So we've got about 700 members around the world, all really keen members or interested in rhododendrons, camellias and magnolias as a group of plants, as a group of ericaceous plants rather than just one particular species of plant. There's a group of plants that we're all interested in. They go very nicely together. And we're just very fortunate that we just learned this month that His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales will become our patron. So we're delighted to announce that as well.
Goodness, yeah. Well, congratulations on that. What does it cost to be a member of the group?
Oh, it's very reasonable, £20 a year.
Oh, right.
And for that, you'll get 3 interesting bulletins and a first-class yearbook with lots of detailed articles about the 3 genera that we represent. And it's a really good yearbook that Roy Lancaster has described as the best yearbook of all the plant societies.
Time I joined, isn't it? Hey?
You'll certainly be welcome.
But when I read the notice that His Royal Highness has joined as patron, there was always a mention of magnolias at Canterbury Cathedral. Now, what's that all about?
Yes, the Amos Pickard Nursery was a local nursery, local to Canterbury. Amos Pickard bred quite a number of interesting magnolias. And one of the things that the Rhododendron Camellia Magnolia Group are doing as part of our centenary plant conservation plans is to put groups of plants in secure garden trusts around the country. And we knew that Canterbury Cathedral had a few magnolias in their grounds, and they have welcomed the opportunity to host a good collection of the Amos Pickard camellias within the grounds of Canterbury Cathedral. And we've donated a number of plants to them, and there's more going in as we locate more plants. But some of these plants are becoming quite rare, so it's nice to find them before they disappear and to put them into secure locations where they can be seen by the public.
You know, if you think of the stellata cultivars, I mean, they're great small garden plants, aren't
they? Small garden plants, but they are a little bit prone to late spring frosts, so you just have to watch out for those. But no, they are great spring plants, and they're absolutely right, they will tolerate that slightly neutral soil. So it's a plant for any garden, they really are.
And all kinds of things are being done with the really large flowered magnolias. The Drury family in New Zealand are bringing out some really quite remarkable things.
Magnolia breeding over the last 10 years has been, or 10 or 15 years, has been absolutely outstanding. Whether that be August Kier in America or the Gurie family in New Zealand, or many other people. There's Maurice Foster in this country doing some wonderful breeding as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's some superb new magnolias coming on the market, and again, it's one of these things where there's almost so many coming through that I'm sure there'll be a sort out in a few years' time, but some of the yellows in particular, the late flowering yellow ones, are just superb. And of course, because they're yellow, they're missing the frosts. And they're really wonderful things like Lois or Honey Liz. There's some really good new yellows coming through.
Is there a very dark one? Is it called Black Tulip?
Black Tulip, yep, that's a New Zealand plant. And no one's quite got to the bottom of why they perform and flower so much darker, and the colour is so much more intense in New Zealand compared with when you bring them over to the UK. We think it's something to do with the light intensity in New Zealand. But yes, they do look good in the UK, but not as fantastic as they look in New Zealand.
I was surprised when I went over to New Zealand in November how good the roses were. You know, the hybrid tea roses had a much larger head, had sort of more strength, and it must be just the clean air and strong sunlight.
It's such an easy growing climate. I mean, they don't have the frosts, they don't have the cold winds. I mean, it is a paradise for plants over there, really.
And then can we just go on quickly to camellias? I went onto a garden centre just before Christmas. And they had a little tiny, 11-centimetre pots, three cuttings, with the Saluensis-type camellia in full red flower. How on earth do people get camellias to flower when they're just 6 or 9 inches high?
I haven't seen those, I'm afraid, Peter. Yeah. But certainly the Sasanqua camellias, there's some nice ones that do flower through the autumn, and certainly some of the Australian breeders have been breeding. There's a Paradise series of Sasanqua camellias, which are stunning flowers, mainly in whites, pinks and reds, but they're actually being recommended as growing for low hedging, and they're great performers.
Mentioning hedges, I did see a circular hedge of camellia in New Zealand, and it was absolutely stunning. You know, the leaves aren't quite as big as laurel. They're really dark, rich, shiny green. It made a fantastic hedge.
It's not something that people think about growing as a hedge over in this country, but, yeah, camellias do make a great hedge. The only proviso is that is if you have deer. The deer do love them, but if you haven't got the deer, a camellia does make a fantastic hedge with that. Any camellia makes a fantastic hedge, but the Sasanquas do give you that real burst of colour through the autumn, which you don't normally have.
And a bit of fragrance again.
And a bit of fragrance.
Yeah. David, you know, we've talked about lots of different kinds of ericaceous plants here today. Can people come to your nursery and see them?
Certainly. Yes, we've got a plant centre that's open 5 days a week, Monday to Friday. And then we open on Saturdays as well in the season, in the spring season. We're pleased to have visitors here. And we also send plants out online all over the country and at the moment all over Europe.
What's on? Well, at the Royal Horticultural Society Gardens in Wisley, on the 22nd of September, they've got the heather show. You know, if you're in the 60s and 70s, heathers and dwarf conifers were all the rage, and then they sort of dropped out of favour, which was a real shame. There are some fantastic heathers that bring a colour from this time of the year right the way round to May. And if you, prepare a bit of land quite well, get them nicely planted and established, they won't need any attention for 10 or 15 years, and they'll give you carpets of colour. They really are stunning things. And so if you've got a minute or two and you're anywhere near the south of England, 22nd of September, RHS Wisley Heather Show. And if you can't make that, most garden centres will now be taking in fresh stock of the autumn, winter and early spring flowering heathers, and I suggest you plant just a group or two, three or four in a patch. Cramer's Red, very large flowered, good red, winter flowering heather. That's a good one to look for. Thanks again to Westland Horticulture, sponsors of this podcast, and thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.